From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. As we begin this new year, we invite you to hear Dr. Cairns as he continues a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text is found in Luke chapter 23 and verse 31. If they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? Among other interpretations of this suggestive question, the following is full of teaching. If I, the innocent substitute for sinners, suffer thus, what will be done when the sinner himself, the dry tree, shall fall into the hands of an angry God? When God saw Jesus in the sinner's place, He did not spare him. And when He finds the unregenerate without Christ, He will not spare them. O sinner, Jesus was led away by His enemies. So shall you be dragged away by fiends to the place appointed for you. Jesus was deserted of God, and if He who was only imputedly a sinner was deserted, how much more shall you be? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, what an awful shriek! But what shall be your cry when you shall say, O God, O God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And the answer shall come back, Because ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. If God spared not His own Son, how much less will He spare you? What whips of burning wire will be yours when conscience shall smite you with all its terrors? Ye richest, ye merriest, ye most self-righteous, who would stand in your place when God shall say, Awake, O sword, against the man that rejected me. Smite him, and let him feel the smart forever. Jesus was spit upon. Sinner, what shame will be yours? We cannot sum up in one word all the mass of sorrows which met upon the head of Jesus who died for us. Therefore, it is impossible for us to tell you what streams, what oceans of grief must roll over your spirit if you die as you now are. You may die so. You may die now. By the agonies of Christ, by His wounds, and by His blood, do not bring upon yourselves the wrath to come. Trust in the Son of God, and you shall never die.
So if you give Jesus all
Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues the theme of the light of the world. The scripture passage begins in John chapter 7, verse 53, and carries through chapter 8, verse 12, the account of the woman taken in adultery. After briefly addressing the controversy about this passage, Dr. Cairns pointed out the darkness of the Jews in rejecting Christ. By their misquoting scripture, they sought to portray Christ as disregarding the law of Moses. Ignoring their accusations, the Lord Jesus brought them under the condemnation of their own consciences. As the Lord Jesus declared, "I am the light of the world," he was expressing what is true only of deity. Light is part of his very essence as God. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, "The Light of the World."
Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I know that those words continued uppermost in Christ's own mind, because when you get into the next chapter where he's dealing with the man blind from birth, he repeats the statement. He is still now exemplifying it by giving sight to the blind, and he's stating it in so many words. As long as I am in the world, verse 5 of chapter 9, I am the light of the world. So what I want to do today for a few minutes as we close the service is to take this text in verse 12 of chapter 8, consider it carefully, because I think it's a statement that supplies us with a theme to unify all the various elements in chapter 8. But it does even more. And this is really why I want us to look at it. Because in this verse, the Lord Jesus gives us a clear insight into his identity, into his mission, and into his ministry. The very first thing that the text teaches us is that Jesus Christ is God. I said a couple of Sabbath evenings ago that this is the fundamental doctrine of New Testament Christianity. Christians are Trinitarians. Christians are believers in biblical inspiration. Christians believe in the atoning death and bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christians believe in justification by grace through faith in the merits of Christ without works of ours. All those are fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith. But undergirding every single one of them, the key to every one of them, without which there is no other doctrine, no other element deserving of the name Christian, there is this fundamental truth: Jesus Christ is God. Because it is so fundamental, we accept that we believe it, and therefore very few preachers ever take time really to expound it. That's why the Jehovah's Witnesses have such an easy time when they go to the doors, even of professing Christians. They don't know how to defend the deity of Jesus Christ. And that's tragic. Jesus Christ is God. And he's making it clear here. He says, I am the light of the world. And understood properly, that is a statement of his deity. Now I know full well, according to Matthew 5:14, he said to his disciples, you are the light of the world. And he certainly didn't mean to say that his disciples were God. But this text in John 8:12 is one of an entirely different class. A series of statements. It's one of that series of the great I am statements of Jesus Christ. And it's one of a series of statements that speak of Christ as the light. Now think of those two things. Let's take the series that speaks of Christ, first of all, as the light. Now, if the sun and the moon could speak, the sun could well say, I am the light of the world. But the same sun could speak to the moon and say, you are the light of the world. But what it really would mean is, you're the light of the world when I am not directly seen. The moon is no light of its own. It simply reflects the light of the unseen sun to lighten the darkness of earth. In the true sense, the sun would say, I am the light of the world. So it is with Christ and his church. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You may reflect my light when I am absent from the earth, but I am the light of the world. I am the light in a unique and in the ultimate sense. Turn to John chapter 1 and see some of the statements regarding Christ as the light. Verse 4 and verse 5. And then verse 7 to verse 9. John's Gospel chapter 1. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 7. The same, that is John the Baptist, came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, or that coming into the world lighteth every man. Turn over to John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ in verse 19 of John 3 is speaking of the condemnation that falls upon sinners. This is how he puts it. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Further over in John in chapter 12, verse 36 and then verse 46, you have the words of Christ. While you have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. In verse 46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Here's a series of texts. The Lord Jesus is the light. And the meaning is, he is the light in himself. In his very essence, he is light. And that's something that's true solely of eternal deity. Jesus Christ is God. I want you to consider two Old Testament texts in this regard. And I hope that you will see the connection immediately. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Here's the creation account. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. It has long been a conundrum. And there have been many attempts to give an answer. How there can be light on the first day when the sun, the moon, and the stars were not created until the fourth day. Well, let me remind you that even after the sun, moon, and stars have been put in their place, Colossians chapter 1 tells us that in Christ all things consist. Cohere, hang together, have their being. It's in him. But God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, what was that light? Job 37, verse 15. Dost thou know when God disposed them, that is his works? Now, notice this part. And caused the light of his cloud to shine. Now, underline the words carefully. Cause the light of his cloud to shine. The first light in creation when God was disposing his works came from, quotes, his cloud. Now, can any Bible believer feel to remember the cloud? The very same cloud that followed Israel in the wilderness, through which God gave them light and guidance and grace. The same cloud of which Isaiah speaks in chapter 4, verse 5, that will yet spread its brightness across Mount Zion and from there across the world. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be for a defense. The light is the light of God's cloud, which is the representation of his essential and his eternal and his glorious deity. So when the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the light of the world, he says, I am lighting the world, not with the opinions of men, not with the best efforts or inventions of religious systems, but I am lighting the world with the light that arises from my own eternal, uncreated glory, which is now revealed to men for their salvation. I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is truly God, because God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, as we read in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. And that's why the Lord Jesus testifies, as we read in verse 23 of John 8, I am from above. Now that claim is strengthened by the Lord Jesus Christ's deliberate use of this I am statement. I am the light. Again, this is one of a unique series. Go through the Gospel of John. You'll find he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. It's a wonderful series of texts to study. The I Ams of Christ. Now, the force of those I Am statements was not lost on the Jews, and especially upon their leaders. We have read already here in John chapter 8, how the Lord Jesus says in verse 58, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before he was. You see, Abraham is a creature limited by time. You speak of him in the past, the present, and the future. He had a beginning. His life had an ending. Though now he is immortal because of the sovereign grace of God in his creation and then in his redemption. But before Abraham was, past tense, I am in the everlasting present. I am the eternal. And immediately that said something to Christ's hearers. Their mind went back, as ours should go, to the third chapter of Exodus in the 14th verse, where the Lord is appearing unto Moses, and he says, My name is I am. I am. One of the most glorious revelations of the Lord in Scripture. The I am. The absolute. The independent of all outside of himself. The uncreated. The unchangeable. The perfect. And the eternal, who becomes in grace the God of covenant mercies to his people. I am. And here is the Lord Jesus saying, I am. I am God. And as God manifested in the flesh, I am the light of the world. Oh, that we would grasp this today. I think that this is a truth, and I really have already shot my time in dealing with it, because there's a lot more I'm supposed to deal with this morning. But I think, you know, that this is one of those truths. I'm not saying it's the only truth, but it is one of those truths that gripped the hearts of our reforming forefathers, that set them on fire for God, that nerved their arm for the fight, that gave them backbones like brass, that made them unafraid of the opposition that afflicted them in life and the fires that hunted them to death. They knew Jesus Christ is God. We are not preaching some impotent little Savior. It's not a Muhammad that we're presenting. It's not some man dressed up and glorified by myth and by legend. It is God, the eternal second person of the eternal Trinity, who has come in the flesh. It is God whom we are serving. It is God whom we are preaching. We can preach him with confidence. We can go to the dungeons of the poor and the afflicted and the incarcerated. We can go to the people who are down and out, and then we can go to the people who think they have everything. People that Dr. Paisley always calls the up and outs. But they're just as equally out. We can tell them Jesus Christ is God. What a glorious truth. He says, Look unto me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God. Is sin powerful? Our Savior is God and He is more powerful. Is Satan powerful? Our Savior is God and He is more powerful. I am the light of the world. It's a statement that teaches He is God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.